Okay, buenas noches.
Good evening.
All right, we're going to finish up, try to finish up last of the lesson, which is lesson 10.
Vamos a tratar de acabar la última de la otra lección, que fue la lección número 10.
We're just really just going to focus on the last few verses.
En verdad, nos vamos a enfocar en los últimos par de versículos.
Last few section, which is 30 to 40.
La última porción, que es del 30 hasta el 40.
So let's go ahead and read verses 30 through 40 of chapter 11.
Vamos a leer del 30 hasta el 40 del capítulo 11.
Okay, so we can read that in English.
So podemos leer en eso en inglés.
Anybody? Morgan, you want to read?
Yes.
Go ahead.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Very good. So in verse 30, in the first section here, first couple of verses, we see a lot of faithful acts in Jericho and with Rahab.
Entonces, en el versículo 30, la primera parte del versículo, vemos muchos hechos hechos con fe en Jericho y con Rahab.
And so we see the faithful acts of the Jews in Jericho when they're marching around the city 7 times.
Entonces vemos los hechos de fe por los judíos en Jericho mientras estaban ganando por Jericho 7 veces.
We even see faithful acts of them even going through that because before that they hadn't even been circumcised, right?
Hasta vemos ellos haciendo esto porque aún antes de eso no eran aún circuncidados.
And we see the faithfulness in Rahab when she hid the spies.
Y vemos la fidelidad de Rahab cuando ella escondió los espías.
From the men of the city.
De los hombres de la ciudad.
And even in particular, what she had testified as to what the city had heard about the Jews, right?
Aún en particular, lo que ella testificó de lo que la ciudad habían oído acerca de los judíos.
What were the things that they had heard about what the Jews had, or actually the God of the Jews had done to the people, to the kings of the surrounding areas?
¿Qué fueron las cosas que las gentes de Jericó oyeron de los israelitas y de lo que el Dios de los israelitas hicieron a los reyes alrededor?
Yeah. Right. They destroyed him, and it said, you know, they were all faint of heart, right? And so Rahab, using that information, knowing that these people were of the God that destroyed Sion and Og.
Entonces, Rahab, usando esta información, sabiendo que ellos eran del Dios que destruyeron a Sion y a Og.
They're knocking on the door and saying, hey, we're here.
Están tocando la puerta, están diciendo, oye, estamos acá.
And so through faith, she hid the spies.
Entonces, a través de fe, ella escondió los espías.
Talks about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel.
Habla acerca de Gedeón, Barak, Sansón, Jephthah, y David.
We see men who have some faults and some shortcomings in their lives.
Vemos hombres que tienen diferentes caídas o ciertas fallas en sus vidas.
But I think what this is saying is that, you know, even though, you know, Gideon had some issues, Samson had some issues, there's still faithful acts in their lives that are noteworthy.
Yo creo que en lo que está diciendo que tenemos que sabemos que Gedeón tenía ciertos problemas, Sansón tenía ciertos problemas. Vemos ciertos hechos con fe que estos hombres hicieron.
And so verse 30, moving on to verse 35, it says that they Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance if they might obtain a better resurrection.
En el versículo 35 dice que más otros fueron atormentados, no aceptando el rescate a fin de obtener mejor resurrección.
Does this remind you of anybody else?
¿Te recuerda esto de alguien diferente?
Not accepting deliverance, but obtaining a better resurrection.
No aceptando el rescate, sino queriendo obtener mejor resurrección.
Jesus. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you have somebody who, you know, Jesus wasn't emotionally ready to die, right?
Jesús no estaba emocionalmente listo para morir.
He was in the garden thinking about, you know, there's going to be, you know, the separation from the Father, there's going to be all this torture, he's going to be beaten to, you know, almost to his death.
Él estaba pensando en el jardín, que él iba a ser separado de Dios, que lo iban a torturar y que lo iban a maltratar, lo iban a golpear casi hasta la muerte.
Jesus had opportunity to be delivered, but he didn't accept the deliverance.
Él tuvo oportunidad de ser liberado, pero él no aceptó eso.
And even on the cross, when he was given the vinegar and the myrrh, that may have dulled the pain that he was going through, he didn't accept that.
Y aún cuando él estuvo sobre la cruz, cuando le querían dar la bebida que estaba mezclada con vinagre, que le iba a quitar un poco del dolor, él no aceptó eso.
And so Jesus was died and crucified, and he was resurrected for these people to have a better resurrection.
Entonces Jesús murió y fue crucificado, y él pasó por eso, y él recibió la resurrección con el fin de que nosotros podamos recibir la misma resurrección.
Thank you. So verse 36, it talks about people having mockings, scourgings, being imprisonment, being stoned, sawn in two, and you get the image of this great persecution.
Sí, en el versículo 37 hablan de las personas que fueron apedreados, aserrados, puestos a prueba, muertos a filo de espada, y vemos esta gran persecución que estas personas pasan.
If you were a Roman citizen in the first century and you were witnessing this persecution,
si tú eras un soldado romano, un ciudadano romano en el primer siglo, tú estabas testificando esta persecución.
Not being partakers of it, but witnessing these people being persecuted.
No siendo partícipes de esto, sino viendo que estas personas lo estaban persiguiendo de esta manera.
What might your thoughts be of these people who are being treated in such a way?
¿Qué hubiera sido tus pensamientos acerca de estas personas que lo estaban tratando de esta manera?
What did the Romans think about these persecuted Jews, if you will?
¿Qué pensaban los romanos de estos judíos que lo estaban persiguiendo?
You think maybe they thought they deserved it, right?
Quizás ellos pensaron que se lo merecían.
They're troublemakers.
Son personas que causan problemas.
They aren't subject to the Caesar.
No son sumisos a César.
And so they deserve to be persecuted, right?
Ellos deben de ser perseguidos, ¿verdad?
What does God think about them?
¿Qué piensa Dios de ellos? Que el mundo no era digno de ellos.
Yeah, the world was not worthy of these. What is that? What does that phrase bring to your mind?
¿Qué le trae esa frase a la mente?
I mean, it sounds like Jesus.
¿Te parece como
okay.
I had thought about when he said the world's not worthy. I just thought he was saying like the world didn't deserve these people.
Yo pensé que cuando decía que el mundo no era digno, yo estaba pensando que el mundo no se merecía estas personas.
I like it. You want to keep going or?
¿Quieres seguir?
Yeah, I think you're barking up the right tree, or I don't know. I think you're on the right path.
Yo creo que estás en el camino correcto, que le estás ladrando al árbol correcto.
I think that's essentially what he's saying there, right?
Yo creo que en esencia es lo que le está diciendo ahí.
In a world that would look at these people as filthy, as deserving of persecution and death and being sawn in two.
En un mundo donde hubieran visto a estas personas como sucios, como que se merecían la muerte y que lo estaban cortando en dos.
That it wasn't fitting for these people who are faithful followers of Christ to be in this world, but God was going to take them out of it.
Que estas personas que eran fieles seguidores de Cristo, que no era justo para ellos vivir en este mundo, entonces Dios lo estaba sacando de aquí.
And the people that the world thinks is not worthy, God is going to put them on a pedestal.
Y las personas que Dios, las personas a las cuales el mundo piensa que no son dignas, Dios lo va a levantar o lo va a elevar.
And they will be glorified with God.
Y ellos iban a ser glorificados con Dios.
Michael, can I give you an example that I thought about?
Mm-hmm.
¿Te puedo dar un ejemplo?
Sí.
It's like, let's say parents that have a wonderful, beautiful child.
Es como un padre que tiene una hija o un hijo bello.
The child's behavior, and they just abuse the child.
Y abusan al muchacho.
And then if we saw something like that, we would say, man, those parents don't even deserve that child.
Nosotros hubiéramos visto algo así, hubiéramos dicho, esos padres ni se merecen ese niño.
Right, and so in this instance, the Christians would be the child, the world would be the parents, and God would be us witnessing that.
En esta instancia, los cristianos hubieran sido los niños, los padres hubieran sido el mundo, y Dios hubiera sido nosotros mirando la situación.
Right, and a thought came to my mind as I was going through this idea that, you know, one of the strongest evidences of the authenticity of God's message is the fact that people would die for their faith.
Algo me llegó a la mente cuando estoy pensando en eso. Una de las cosas que para mí me ayuda a entender, me ayuda a creer que las cosas que estamos viendo son auténticas, es que las personas estaban dispuestas a morir por su fe.
That people would accept persecution and being sawn in two,
que las personas hubieran aceptado persecución y siendo partidos en dos,
for the message that God brought.
Por el mensaje que Dios trajo.
So no one would die for something that they thought was a lie.
Nadie está dispuesto a morir por algo que piensa que es una mentira.
They may live it out up until the point where when it costs their life, they're going to give up the lie.
Quizás están dispuestos a vivirlo hasta el tiempo donde le van a quitar la vida, pero después.
But these people, on the contrary, didn't, right?
Pero estas personas, al contrario, no lo hicieron.
Also reminds me of Acts 5, when the apostles were taken into custody.
También me acuerdo en Hechos 5, cuando los apóstoles lo prendieron.
And they were on trial before the Sanhedrin. They were told not to speak in Jesus' name anymore, and they were beaten before they were
let go. Delante del concilio judío, le dijeron que no, que dejen de hablar acerca de Jesús, y lo maltrataron o lo golpearon antes de soltarlos.
And in verse 41 it says that they went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame of his name.
Versículo 41 decía que ellos se fueron gozosos porque pudieron sufrir el oprobio en el nombre de Jesús.
And so verse 39 really kind of sums it up. You know, all these heroes of faith, if you will, still did not receive everything that God wanted them to have.
Estos héroes de fe, según el versículo 39, como quieran, no recibieron todo lo que Dios les había prometido.
And so there was this promise that was still out there.
O sea, como quieran, estaba esa promesa que estaba aún allá.
And God, having provided something better for us, they shouldn't be made perfect without us.
Y Dios, habiendo aún prometido algo para nosotros, preparado algo para nosotros, para que no fuesen ellos perfeccionados aparte de nosotros.
So I think in a way that's saying, you know, there's something better to come.
Entonces yo creo que en cierto sentido le está diciendo que algo mejor por venir.
And so we'll move to chapter 11, unless anybody has any questions or comments.
Capítulo 12, si alguien tiene pregunta o comentario.
Other than it's hot, very hot. Okay, good. All right, let's move on to chapter 12.
Vamos a ir al capítulo 12.
Let's read the first two verses.
Vamos really a leer los primeros dos.
En español.
En Spanish.
Dice, por tanto nosotros también, teniendo en derredor nuestro tan grande nube de testigos, despojémonos de todo peso y de pecado que nos asedia y corramos con paciencia la carrera que tenemos por delante, puesto los ojos en Jesús, el autor y consumador de la fe, el cual por el gozo puesto delante de él sufrió la cruz, menospreciando el oprobio, y se sentó a la diestra del trono de Dios.
Okay, so after noting all these heroes of faith in chapter 11,
después de notando todos estos héroes de fe en el capítulo 11,
who did things by faith in the unseen,
que hicieron cosas por fe, las cosas que no fueron vistas,
but they hadn't yet received everything,
pero aún no hubieron recibido todo,
the writer points us to Jesus.
El escritor no apunta hacia Jesús.
And you're going to hear a lot of language like endure and endurance.
Y tú vas a escuchar mucha lengua de paciencia o paciencia superada.
And so the first verse talks about us laying aside every weight and every sin that snares us and running the race with endurance.
Entonces, el primer versículo habla acerca de nosotros despojándonos de todo peso y del pecado que nos asedia y corriendo con paciencia la carrera delante de nosotros.
Now, if I'm going to run a race, right,
yo voy a correr una carrera,
especially one that I'm going to have to endure for a long time,
especialmente una sobre la cual yo voy a tener que ser paciente por mucho tiempo,
do I want a lot of things on my person or my body weighing you down?
Muchas cosas sobre mi persona, sobre mi cuerpo que me va a pesar.
Yeah. No, we don't,
no,
right?
No lo creemos.
And so this is kind of the idea here, this visual and this this analogy of running a race is appropriate here.
Entonces, esa es la idea aquí, el visual de coger una carrera es apropiado aquí.
And so he's saying, lay aside the weight of sin that ensnares us, because that's going to weigh you down in your enduring,
Let me translate. Okay, think about it. Yeah. So dice que por esa razón que despojemos de todo peso del pecado que nos asedia mientras estamos tratando de superar o ser paciente durante la carrera.
In your enduring journey, in this life.
Sí, en el camino de ya, en el camino con paciencia a través de esta vida.
And then he talks about this surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses.
Y después él habla acerca de siendo rodeado con un gran testigo, con gran nube de testigos.
And I don't think that what he means by this is that, you know, we're kind of sitting in this arena and you got a bunch of people surrounding us, looking down at us, and watching every step and every move that we make. I don't think that's what he's saying.
Yo no creo que lo que está diciendo es que estamos en una arena y que estamos sentados en el centro de ella y que hay personas a nuestro alrededor como mirándonos y mirando hacia abajo hacia nosotros.
I think it's more like, you know, we have this multitude of people in chapter 11 whose lives has testified of their faithfulness.
Yo creo que la idea es que tenemos una multitud de personas, la gente en el capítulo 11, cuyas vidas han testificado acerca de su fidelidad.
And their faithfulness in times that are worse than theirs, in some ways.
En tiempos que eran peor que la de ellos, en cierta manera.
And they were able to be faithful.
Y ellos pudieron ser fieles.
And ours, right?
Y nuestros.
I mean, think about. I mean, do we have any reason not to be faithful to God?
No tenemos una razón por la cual no debemos ser fieles a Dios.
In 21st century America.
En el siglo 21 en los Estados Unidos.
I mean, we just read about people being sawn in two.
Acabamos de leer de las personas que lo partieron en dos.
We, you know, hiding in caves, you know, running for their lives.
Huyendo por sus vidas.
We have no excuses.
Nosotros no tenemos excusas.
Right? We don't have the persecutions that they had and they endured and they were faithful to God.
Nosotros no tenemos las persecuciones que ellos tenían y ellos superaron y fueron fieles a Dios.
Why would the writer describe the life as enduring a race in the terms of a race?
¿Por qué es que el autor hubiera describido esta idea de siendo paciente y que corriendo con paciencia de forma de una carrera?
Yes.
Running a race takes a lot of training.
Mm-hmm. Si corriendo una carrera se requiere mucho entrenamiento.
So you have to prepare yourself to run a very long race.
Entonces tú tienes que preparar para correr una carrera muy larga.
While you're running,
mientras estás corriendo, yo jamás he corrido.
I'm assuming it's very difficult at certain points.
Asumiendo que va a ser muy difícil en ciertos puntos.
But there's still a finish line that you have to
look toward. Una línea de término.
It's almost a perfect analogy in some ways.
Es una imagen perfecta en cierta manera.
I'll tell you my story about my race. First of all, do I look like I run? No. Don't look like I run. I used to run. I ran a 10K. It was the only 10K I ever ran. I won't ever run another one. And so I'm running the race, and I know the last part of it is all downhill. And so when I get to the last part, I'm running fast and furious. Because I know it's all downhill. Problem is, the last little bit was uphill. And I couldn't see the finish line.
Yo no podía ver la línea de término.
The finish line was around the corner.
La línea de término estaba cruzada la esquina.
And so when I started going uphill,
entonces cuando yo empecé a subir la colina,
it got tougher and tougher
se hizo
and tougher.
Más y más difícil.
I couldn't see the finish line and it got
la
harder.
Línea de término se hizo más difícil.
My endurance was low.
Mi paciencia estaba baja.
And so, you know, the end of the story is I finished the race, but it was difficult because I could not see the finish line, right?
El fin de la historia es que yo terminé la carrera, pero era difícil porque yo no pude ver la línea de término.
And so, what the writer here is going to say in order to remedy that situation of not seeing the finish line.
Entonces, lo que va a hacer el autor para ayudarnos a entender o arreglar ese problema de no poder ver la línea de término.
He's going to instruct us to look to Jesus, right?
Él nos va a instruir a mirar hacia Jesús, ¿verdad?
So in running the race, there's two things it says we do. We endure looking to Jesus.
Entonces, en corriendo la carrera, dos cosas que hacemos. Superamos o tenemos paciencia mirando hacia Jesús.
And actually fixing our eyes on Jesus.
Y poniendo nuestros ojos en Jesús.
And I think that's the image there is fixing our eyes on Jesus.
Y yo creo que esa es la imagen, es poniendo nuestros ojos en Jesús.
Is there anybody who watches golf?
¿Alguien mira golfo?
Does anybody know who Tiger Woods is?
¿Alguien sabe quién es Tiger Woods?
Have you ever seen him putt at the end, putt the ball?
¿Ustedes han visto a él poner la bola en el pin cuando están acabando?
So what he'll do at the end, right, if he's looking at the hole and he's got his ball, he'll sit down like this, and he'll take his cap and he'll go just like this.
Y lo que él hace cuando está tratando de hacer el golpe corto, él se hace así, y se quita la gorra y pone su gorra sobre sus ojos y él mira el pin así.
What's he doing?
¿Qué le está haciendo?
Poniendo sus ojos en el agujero.
Yeah, he's putting his eyes on the goal, in the hole.
Yeah. Fixing his eyes, right? I think that's the image that we have here in this verse of looking to Jesus,
right?
Fixing our eyes on our Savior.
So, puesto los ojos en nuestro Salvador.
So the question might be, why should we look to Jesus?
Entonces, la pregunta quizás debe ser, ¿por qué debemos mirar a Jesús? Because you have the witnesses of chapter 11 and then you have Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who's superior to all those other witnesses.
Okay.
Y él terminó la carrera.
You want to say something?
Okay.
Yeah, he endured, right?
Sí, él superó, ¿verdad?
And where does it say he's at after he endured?
¿Y dónde dice que él está después de superar? At the right hand of the Father.
Sitting at the right hand of the of God. Inferring or implying that he is conquered, right?
Tiene la implicación que él conquistó.
And so not only did he endure the cross,
superó la cruz,
he conquered the cross.
Él la conquistó.
Right. And that gives us hope.
Esto nos da esperanza.
And so it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How is Jesus how is he the author of our faith?
¿Cómo es que él es el autor de nuestra fe?
Could it be that because he finished the race and he is now in heaven with the Father?
Pues puede ser de porque él terminó la carrera y que ahora él está en el cielo con el Padre.
That's where we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
Es ahí donde nosotros estamos tratando de llegar.
The word author also means chief leader.
La palabra autor también significa el líder primario.
Prince. Captain.
El capitán.
Capitán.
O el
captain.
Sí, el príncipe.
So if we're using the race metaphor.
Estamos usando la imagen de una carrera.
He's the one leading. He's the pace setter, right?
Él es el que nos da el paso, ¿verdad?
And how he is the perfecter of our faith, right?
Y él es el que perfecciona nuestra fe.
His sacrifice finished the old covenant, brought it to a conclusion.
Su sacrificio terminó el pacto antiguo, lo trajo a la conclusión.
Allowing us to finish our life's race and to get the crown.
Dejándonos a nosotros terminar nuestra carrera de la vida y dándonos la corona.
Any other thoughts on that?
¿Otros pensamientos sobre eso? Sí, yo creo que en cierto sentido es cuando pensamos en Jesús siendo el autor de nuestra fe. En cierto sentido, vemos a Jesús como escribiendo de nuevo la historia de la humanidad. Porque antes de su muerte y su resurrección, la historia por cada ser humano hubiera visto, el hombre vivió su vida y fracasó en viviendo una vida que iba a complacer a Dios. Pero por Jesús superando la cruz y viviendo la vida que él vivió, tenemos como una nueva historia. Es decir, pensamos en él como el autor. Tenemos una nueva historia sobre la cual Jesús, en esta nueva historia, el ser humano ahora no solamente está viviendo su vida, sino que puede vivir su vida en tal manera que puede complacer a Dios, terminar la carrera y estar a la diestra del Padre. I can translate.
I said it all.
No, but I just think about this idea of Jesus being the author of our faith and really the author, the perfectioner of the faith. But this picture of him being the author of our faith, he's almost rewriting the story for humanity.
Mm.
He's rewriting the story for man. Because prior to him doing what he did, prior to him enduring the cross and him finishing this race, the story for every human being was going to be the same. As they lived their life, they ran their race, and they finished short. You know, they didn't live a life that was fully pleasing to God. But because Jesus endured the cross, because he died and he was risen on the third day, we have somebody who has, I mean, he's essentially rewritten the story on what faith looks like and mm-hmm. what finishing the race looks like.
Yeah,
so in that, we have somebody who's the author and the perfecter of our faith.
Right. Which is why we ought to be focused on him, fixing our eyes on him. It talks about him enduring the cross and despising the shame.
Hablar de él superando o sufriendo la cruz y menospreciando lo propio.
And for the joy that was, and the reason why he endured the cross was the joy that was set before him.
Y la razón en la cual él sufrió la cruz fue por el gozo que estuvo puesto delante de él.
What was the joy that was awaiting him?
¿Qué era el gozo que le estaba esperando? To be at the right hand of the Father.
Okay. Anything else?
¿Algo más?
Salvation. Yeah.
Sí.
And kind of mixed into that, I mean,
mezclado en eso,
is this idea that he inherits us.
Es esta idea que él no va a recibir a nosotros por herencia.
And you think about it, I mean, he didn't go to the cross for nothing, right?
Tú lo piensas de esta manera, él no fue a la cruz por ninguna razón, ¿verdad?
He went to the cross to redeem his people.
Él fue a la cruz para redimir a su gente.
And so the joy, some of the joy that was on the other side was the idea that he would be able to be reunited and be able to reconcile with his people.
Uno de los gozos que estuvo en el otro lado es que él iba a poder estar reconciliado y recibir de nuevo a su gente.
And so, being with the Father, gaining an inheritance, our salvation, and even defeating Satan.
Entonces, estando con el Padre, recibiéndonos a nosotros por herencia y aún venciendo a Satanás.
Let's move on to verses 3 through 6.
Vamos a seguir el versículo de
unless anybody has any thoughts or questions.
Si alguien no tiene otro pensamiento, pregunta.
In English.
Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have not forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives.
Okay, so the writer just told us to, you know, fix our eyes on Jesus.
Entonces, el autor nos acaba de decir que pongamos nuestros ojos sobre Jesús.
And now he is asking us or exhorting us to consider him.
Y ahora él nos está diciendo, nos está exhortando de considerar que lo consideremos.
Which is a little different, but it's but he's asking them to think about what Jesus did, right?
Es un poco diferente, pero está diciendo que piensen en lo que Jesús hizo.
Jesus endured a hostility which is kind of similar to what they're going through.
Jesús sufrió la contradicción de los pecadores que era un poco similar a lo que ellos estaban pasando.
And the danger here on not considering Jesus, not thinking about the things that he did.
Y el peligro aquí de no pensando en Jesús y no pensando en las cosas que él hizo.
Is that we might become weary and discouraged.
Es que no podemos desanimar o cansarnos.
Why would considering Jesus prevent us from becoming weary?
¿En qué manera es considerando a Jesús nos va a prevenir de cansándonos o desanimándonos?
Porque él no
se desanimó. Because he didn't become weary or faint hearted.
Okay, yeah, all right.
And just a thought. About despising the shame.
Miguel, un pensamiento en cuanto a menospreciando lo propio.
It's not that Jesus didn't realize what was going on.
No es que Jesús no realizó lo que estaba pasando.
And that what was happening to him was shameful.
Y que le estaba pasando era algo vergonzoso.
Right.
But he was just so focused on saving us, well, saving the world.
Y él estaba tan enfocado en salvándonos a nosotros y salvando al mundo.
That he was able to despise the shame, he was able to put the shame
under
to the side.
Yeah.
Right.
And not allow that shame to stop him from completing his mission.
Y no dejar que ese oprobio, vergüenza, que lo delante de cumpliendo con su misión.
I appreciate you saying that, and you know, even us, right? I mean, we need to be thoughtful of that as well, right? I mean, think about the first century Christians. The shame it was for them to say, I believe in the God who died on the cross.
Piensa los cristianos del primer siglo, la vergüenza que hubiera sido de decir que yo creo en un Dios que se murió sobre una cruz.
It was a shameful thing for them to go to people and say those things and to believe in a God that died on the cross in crucifixion. And to admit that God's son was killed by the Romans. And so we need to follow that same example, right?
Just
despising the shame, right? Because the world is going to define certain things that we do as shameful. And so we need to follow Jesus' example by looking past that and looking for the joy that comes after. Appreciate that, Teresa. So back to the question, why would considering Jesus... Why would thinking about him and considering him prevent us from becoming weary, other than what Natalie told us?
Entonces, de nuevo, más allá de lo que nos acaba de decir la hermana Natalie, ¿cómo es que considerando a Jesús nos va a ayudar en no cansándonos o no desanimándonos o desmayándonos?
Bueno, el hecho de que él no desmayó porque él se hizo humano como nosotros.
Well, the fact that again he wasn't faint-hearted because he became human like us.
Porque él era Dios, entonces mucha gente se enfocaría en el hecho que él era Dios y dirían, bueno, él era Dios, era perfecto. Obvio que fue fácil para Jesús.
Because I mean, he was God, and the fact that he was God would have made it easy. I mean, that's the thought. People would have thought it would have been easy for him to suffer all of that.
Pero en el, o sea, ya lo dijo el autor de los Hebreos en el capítulo 2, que tuvo que ser hecho como nosotros en todos los aspectos.
But in chapter 2, the Hebrew writer says that he was made like us in every respect.
Entonces, yeah. No fue fácil.
Right.
So it wasn't easy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, y con eso, sabes, de nuevo, en el versículo 1 y 2 sabemos que Jesús superó esas cosas con el gozo de recibirnos a nosotros. Y la idea es que si yo puedo poner mis ojos sobre alguien que sufrió por mí, eso debe de animarme a sufrir por él. Sabes, si alguien hace algo por ti, tú te vas a animar para recibir el favor. La idea es, y cuando pensamos en lo que Jesús hizo por nosotros, Jesús no está pidiendo por algo que él no hizo, él mismo por nosotros. Y yo creo que cuando podemos pensar en Jesús más, eso nos va a animar a nosotros mucho más a seguir adelante en nuestro camino con el Señor. I was saying, like, and part of that, and you were mentioning the reasons why Jesus would suffer that shame and suffer that hardship. And the second thing you mentioned was the idea of inheriting us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he suffered these things with the goal, with the hope of receiving us or inheriting us. And if we can legitimately think and consider everything that Jesus did to receive us, if I can consider that and think about that, then it's going to encourage me a little bit more to keep fighting and to keep going on and to not get tired. When I can think about the good things that people have done for me, it encourages me and pushes me a little bit more to serve them. And so you think about all the things that Jesus has done for you, that God has done for you.
Yeah.
That should be one of those things that encourages you to keep going ahead.
Yeah. That's a great thought. Yeah.
In the next verse,
in the próximo versículo,
talks about how to the point of shedding blood.
Habla aún hasta el punto de que no hemos resistido hasta la sangre.
Right when we start feeling sorry for ourselves and we want to give up.
Cuando empezamos a pensar en nosotros mismos,
Jesus went through.
Right. Pensamos en lo que Jesús pasó.
We pull back and say, wait a second, I didn't go through that.
Y como que nos adelantamos y decimos, espérense, pero yo no pasé por eso.
Right. Good. Anything else?
Sí, algo más.
By the way, I see everybody fanning. It's pretty hot in here. Thought I had was the one telling us to endure is the one who went through it just like us.
La idea lo que yo tuve es que aquel que nos está diciendo que debemos superar fue aquel que pasó por lo mismo que nosotros.
And so when you're going through a struggle in life, it means a little bit more if someone that talks to you about it has done it, has experienced the same thing, right?
Cuando tú estás pasando por cierta lucha en tu vida, tiene un poco más de valor cuando alguien que te está hablando acerca de eso ya ha pasado por eso.
And so Jesus is here saying, listen, I've endured the hostility of the sinners, right?
Entonces Jesús está diciendo aquí, oye, yo pasé por la contradicción de los pecadores.
Don't become weary, I've done that before.
No se cansen, yo pasé por eso.
And so he's trying to tell us to endure.
Entonces le está tratando de decir a ellos que no se desanimen.
And so we see all this stuff wrapped up in this all of this enduring and all of this trial and tribulation. One might think that, you know, God has it in for us.
Entonces, podemos ver todas estas pruebas y tribulaciones y no podemos pensar que quizás Dios está en contra de nosotros.
Or that God doesn't love us.
Porque Dios no nos ama.
Is that a reasonable thought for some people?
¿Es un pensamiento razonable para algunas personas?
Is it easy to become discouraged while being chastened by God?
¿Es fácil de desanimarse mientras siendo disciplinado por Dios?
Has anybody ever had that thought in their mind?
¿Alguien ha tenido ese pensamiento en sus mentes?
I have.
Yo sí.
It's easy if that's all you know of God.
Okay. Es fácil si eso es todo lo que tú sabes de Dios.
If his discipline is all that you focus on, then it's easy to get discouraged.
Si su disciplina es todo sobre la cual tú te enfocas, va a ser fácil para tú desanimarte.
Okay. Yeah, and I think there's a difference between the chastening of God or the discipline of God.
Yo creo que hay una diferencia entre la disciplina de Dios
and punishment
y un castigo.
Right. I think there's a difference.
Yo creo que hay una diferencia.
Now the chastening of God, the word actually means to train and educate a child.
Ahora, la disciplina, esa palabra en verdad tiene el significado de entrenar o educar a un niño.
And so you get this idea of, you know, like I have a son and I'm disciplining him, I'm training him to act a certain way or to, you know, to be a certain way.
Entonces, piensas, yo tengo un hijo, yo estoy disciplinando, yo estoy tratando de entrenarlo o educarlo para que él se comporte de cierta manera.
And so the writer has some things to say about that for people who might think that, you know, this is a bad thing for them.
Entonces, el autor va a decir ciertas cosas acerca de eso para las personas que van a pensar que eso es algo malo.
How does the writer tell us not to feel about God's discipline?
¿Cómo no dice el autor que no debemos de pensar acerca de la disciplina de Dios?
Not to...
¿De no qué?
Not to despise.
No lo menosprecie.
And not to be discouraged.
Not to be discouraged. And to understand what?
Y de entender qué.
That he loves us, right? Right. Listen, I've disciplined my son before.
Yo he disciplinado a mi hijo anteriormente.
And I've sat down with him and had conversations about the discipline.
Y yo me he sentado con él y he tenido conversaciones con él acerca de la disciplina.
And I had to tell him, listen, this is because I love you.
Y yo le tenía que decir, oye,
like
porque yo te amo.
Like if I didn't love you, I'd just let you do whatever you want.
Si yo no te amaría, yo te hubiera dejado hacer lo que
no consequences.
Sin ninguna consecuencia.
Would that do him any good in life?
Eso lo hubiera hecho bien en la vida.
No. And so I said, you know, the parents that let their kids just do whatever they want to do, they don't love their child. And so in the same way, this verse is telling us, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be discouraged.
No te desanimes, no te desmayes,
because it's evidence that God loves you.
Porque es evidencia de que Dios te ama.
And if we're faithful to God, drawing near to God in our lives, diligently seeking Him, and we fall into trials or tribulations, we accept those trials as God's chastening. And I can't escape the fact or the idea of James chapter 1, verses 2.
Yo no puedo escapar al hecho de Santiago capítulo, sorry, James chapter 1 verse 2.
Yeah.
En Santiago capítulo 1 versículo 2.
Where it says, count it all joys when you fall into various kinds of trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness.
Dice que cuéntalo gozo cuando pasa por diferentes pruebas, sabiendo que el entrenamiento de esas pruebas lo que va a producir es fidelidad o paciencia.
Yeah. Any other comments, questions before we move on?
Otro comentario o preguntas mientras continuamos.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Earlier today, when I was thinking about it, it made me think about when he was talking about milk.
Anteriormente, cuando estábamos pensando en eso, estuve pensando.
Yes, sorry.
Cuando estábamos hablando acerca de leche.
If you stay on milk,
si tú te quedas bebiendo leche,
you'll never get to where you can be sawed into.
Tú jamás vas a estar en cierto punto donde te pueden partir en dos.
You know, and remain faithful.
Y mantenerte fiel.
Because the men and women that went through all this, their faith was on meat.
Su fe estaba sobre la carne.
On what?
Meat.
On meat, or as opposed to?
Opposed to
milk. Right. I got it.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Sí, gracias.
All right. Let's read 7 through 11.
Vamos a leer del 7 hasta el 11.
En español.
In Spanish. ¿En español?
Dios os trata como a hijos, porque qué hijo es aquel a quien el padre no disciplina, pero si se os deja sin disciplina, de la cual todos han sido participantes, entonces sois bastardos y no hijos. Por otra parte, tuvimos a nuestros padres terrenales que nos disciplinaban y los venerábamos. ¿Por qué no obedeceremos mucho mejor al Padre de los Espíritus y viviremos? Y aquellos ciertamente por pocos días nos disciplinaron como a ellos les parecía, pero este para lo que nos es provechoso, para que participemos de su santidad.
es verdad que ninguna disciplina al presente parece ser causa de gozo, sino de tristeza, pero después da fruto posible de justicia a los que en ella han sido ejercitados.
Okay, so we have a contrast here, right? This,
entonces tenemos un contraste aquí, ¿verdad?
This idea that if we endure God's chastening,
esta idea de que si superamos o si somos pacientes con la disciplina de Dios,
and we do that by diligently seeking Him through the discipline,
y hacemos eso por diligentemente buscándolo a través de la disciplina,
and that we continue to believe and trust that He loves us and that's why He's doing it,
y que continuamos a creer y saber que Él nos ama y por eso que lo está haciendo,
then we'll be His sons, we'll be His family.
Pues vamos a ser sus hijos, vamos a ser su familia.
But the opposite is also true.
Pero lo opuesto también es verdadero.
That if we're out without discipline,
y si estamos sin disciplina,
that we've rejected the discipline of the Lord and we're not self-disciplined,
que si rechazamos la disciplina del Señor y no tenemos autodisciplina,
then He calls us illegitimate.
Pues él nos llama bastardos.
So in a sense that we don't belong to Him.
En el sentido right? Que no le pertenecemos.
It's interesting, verse 9, he kind of gives the contrast even further to human fathers.
Es interesante, en el versículo 9, él hasta da el contraste con padres terrenales.
Anybody here had a father that was hard disciplinarian?
¿Alguien aquí tuvo un padre que era duro en la contra la disciplina?
Right? I had one too.
Yo tuve uno también.
My dad was in the army. My dad was a first sergeant. He was like the top of the enlistees. Right?
So
he was tough.
Él era duro.
And he was a strict authoritarian. He corrected, he disciplined.
Corrigía, él tenía mucha autoridad, él disciplinaba.
And I learned very quickly to respect him.
Y yo aprendí rápidamente a respetarlo.
Right. And I look back, I'm thankful for that, right?
Yo miro hacia atrás, estoy agradecido por eso.
But how much more respect and honor should I give
más respeto y honra debo de darle
my Father in heaven?
A mi Padre en el cielo.
Because it says here, like earthly fathers, right? We discipline, but we don't always do it for the right reason.
Pero no siempre lo hacemos por las razones mejores.
Right? We may do it out of anger,
quizás a veces lo hacemos fuera de ira,
out of pride or embarrassment.
O de orgullo, de vergüenza.
Have you ever disciplined out of embarrassment? I have.
Disciplinado a alguien de vergüenza, yo lo he hecho.
And sometimes we discipline out of love.
Y a veces disciplinamos de amor.
But it says here that our heavenly Father always disciplines for our profit.
Pero dice aquí que nuestro Padre Celestial siempre disciplina por nuestro provecho.
And for a much greater purpose, and that is to be partakers of His holiness.
Y por un mejor propósito, y que es para ser partícipes de su santidad.
And so while earthly fathers may get it right sometimes,
entonces mientras padres terrenales a veces lo tienen bien.
When our Father in heaven disciplines us, it's for our profit always.
Cuando nuestro Padre en el cielo disciplina siempre es por nuestro provecho.
So that we also may be holy.
Para que también podamos ser santos.
And so we need to consider that.
Eso tenemos que considerar eso.
And in verse 11, real quick, just this kind of idea that discipline is always with the goal of self discipline.
Y en el versículo 11, la disciplina siempre con la meta de autodisciplina.
In order to yield peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Para poder traer fruto apacible de justicia.
Okay. I'm going to try to finish this last section here. We won't finish it, but we'll at least read it. 12 through 17 in English.
Vamos a tratar de terminar esta última parte aquí del 12 al 17 en inglés.
Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears.
Thank you. We'll finish up on Sunday.
Vamos a terminar el domingo.